Amen. It is so good to be with you this morning. And hopefully you're at Psalm 100 because we're going to be looking at Psalm 100. On a Sunday morning after worship, a woman came up to the preacher and said, "I just want to thank you for such an encouraging lesson today." And he said, "Well, don't thank me, just thank the Lord." And she said, "Well, it wasn't that good." And then there was this older woman. She was very devout in her faith in God. She was poor. And every morning she would come out on the front porch and she would just shout, "Praise the Lord." And her neighbor next door was an atheist. He was an old crank and he would just always yell over, "There ain't no God." And so one morning he decided to prove his point, and he bought some groceries and he laid it there on her doorstep. And when she came out in the morning and saw the groceries, she said, "Praise the Lord." And the old crank next door came out from behind a tree and said, "I bought those groceries. I put them there and there ain't no God." And she says, "Lord, thank you for bringing me these groceries and making the devil pay for them." And I'll never forget, about 35 years ago, I had a t-shirt on it and it had a key. And in the middle of the key, it said, "Jesus Christ is the key to life." And as I was walking in Kmart, I hadn't quite got into the entry yet, there was a woman coming out of Kmart. And she saw my t-shirt and she literally just jumped up in the air and went, "Praise the Lord!" Just like that, just right there at Kmart. And I almost got embarrassed by it in a sense, because it brought so much attention to me, you know, immediately. But I just smiled at her. But I thought, that's great. Well, Psalm 100 is a call to praise the Lord. And I don't know if you paid attention or not, but there are a lot of commands in this psalm. Like verse 1, make a joyful shout. That's the word there instead of noise. It's shout. Make a joyful shout. That's a command. Serve the Lord. Verse 2, that's a command. Come before his presence with singing. That's a command. Verse 3, know you that the Lord, he is God. That's a command. Praise, where it says, be thankful unto him. That's a command. And bless his name. Every one of those are commands. And so we need to be reminded of the significance and the importance of praising God, right? The psalmist says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. And so when you look at the psalms in Scripture, the psalms of praise, the way that they're put together is they tell you who God is and what God has done, and the result should be praise, right? So his person and his performance, and that's what we're going to be looking at today. So first of all, let's consider his person. Now notice in verse 3, he says, know ye not that the Lord, he is God? It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So he says, know that the Lord himself is God. So here's what we need to know. God has a name. And God's name is Yahweh. That's what's there in the capital L-O-R-D, right? Anytime you see that in Scripture, you know that's God's personal name. And so God has a name, and his name is Yahweh. And so when you think of God, you can pack a lot in there, right? I mean, he is all-powerful, all-knowing. He's good. He's faithful. He's loving. He's gracious. And you can continue to just pack all kinds of terms in God, because as you do, you begin to see his person, that he is a great God and he is the creator. And because he is a great creator, he deserves our praise. We need to applaud him for his greatness. We do, man, all the time, right? So think about it. So we're watching a baseball game on television, right? And I don't watch a lot of baseball, but let's just say we are. And so this guy hits a home run. So he hits this little ball out of the park, and the whole place erupts, right? And they're thrilled. They're praising this man because he hit a ball over a wall. Or it can be football. You know, the quarterback throws this long pass, and the receiver catches it, and he crosses the goal line. And again, the whole place erupts, and everybody is praising the quarterback and the receiver for such a fantastic play. Now, think about that for just a moment. A pigskin with air crosses a goal, so we praise, right? A little bitty ball hit over a wall, and we praise. Why don't you take a telescope at night and look up at the heavens and compare that with hitting a ball over a wall? Or a pigskin crossing a goal? Or just drive the million-dollar highway in Colorado and behold the glory of the Rocky Mountains. That is impressive. No man can do that. Only God can do that because he's a great creator. He needs to be and deserves to be praised. And by the way, our priestly responsibility is to praise God for his excellencies, for his goodness, for his wondrous deeds, and they are numerous. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 13:15, through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Peter writes, 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so we as God's people, priests of God. It's interesting. A lady the other day at the store, I went into Holdings, and there was a lady I know there. I talked to her frequently. And she said, are you a priest? And I said, well, yes, I am. I sure am a priest. And I know what she meant, and she didn't know what I meant. And then I said, but by the way, I said, all believers are priests. All believers are priests, and I quote it here, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And so, as God's people, we are priests, and one of our duties is to magnify God. It is to praise God. It is to thank God for his goodness. And by the way, it's necessary for us to praise God. And think about this too. For example, if you are watching a football game or a baseball game, right? Imagine just sitting there watching a football game and all you're doing is sitting there with your arms folded like this. Who watches a football game like that? I mean, aren't your hands supposed to be in the air? Aren't you supposed to throw pillows and, you know, I mean, aren't you supposed to get involved? Right? That's what makes it fun. If all you do is just sit there like a bump on a log, why even watch the game? No, you need to be a part of it. And so you need to be yelling and screaming at the television set so they can hear you, right? That's what you're supposed to do. Because that's how you enjoy a game. Well, similarly, if we're going to have a meaningful walk with God and a meaningful relationship with God, we have got to learn to praise God. We have got to learn to applaud him because everything he does is great and awesome, and it is worthy of our worship. And so we should praise God for who he is. But secondly, we need to praise God for his performance. You see, God is good. He is good, and we are to praise God for his goodness. The psalmist says in verse 5, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. And so the goodness of God is seen in his love and his faithfulness. And so we should praise God for his incredible love shown to us in his son, Jesus Christ. And what a great verse this is. And I almost hate to quote it, because when I quote it, I can almost anticipate a yawn, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Familiar verses need to be read more closely, right? Because we can get familiar with something and we just dismiss it. That is an incredible verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. And Paul writes this in Romans 5, verses 8 through 10. He says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Listen, the giving of Jesus for you and for me was an incredible act of love and forgiveness on God's part. You agree? It is awesome what God did. Think about this. The creator of the universe, this God who doesn't need you or me for his existence, and he's existed for all eternity, and he decides to make people, and he loved them so much that when they got into a mess, he got them out of that mess. That God deserves our praise. Think of any religion in the world that even comes close to John 3:16. There is no religion in the world that compares with John 3:16 or Romans chapter 5 verses 8 through 9. We should praise God for his consistent, undeviating faithfulness. Moses writes in Deuteronomy 7 verse 9, "Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps his covenant." In Psalm 36, 5, David writes, "Thy loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches to the skies." So here's the thing. Faithfulness never, ever fluctuates with God, because God is eternally dependable. You see, when God says, "Read my lips," you don't have to worry about him reneging at a later date. If God says something, you can count on it, because he is a faithful God. If he says it, you can count on it. You see, God has this unblemished track record when it comes to faithfulness, not only in our lives, but people of the past as well. Joshua wrote these words in Joshua 23, verse 14. He says, "Now behold, today I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one word of all the good words which the Lord your God spoke concerning you has failed, has been fulfilled for you." Not one of them has failed. And so that's the amazing. When you look at God's track record in Scripture, what you see is he's faithful consistently. There's never a time when God is unfaithful. He is a faithful God, and he is a God who deserves to be praised for who he is and what he has done. So we should praise God for his person. We should praise God for his performance. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, the temple is dedicated, and the glory of the Lord had filled the temple. And when all the Israelites saw the glory of God above the temple, the text says, and this is just the first three verses in 2 Chronicles 7, the text says they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground and said, "God is good." Let me ask you, when was the last time you knelt on the ground with your face toward the ground, and you proclaimed that God is good. Have you ever done that? It's important that we understand that we are priests of God. And as priests, there must be something that we offer. And this text says that we should offer praise to God. If you've neglected praise in your life, well, it's never too late to start, right? I mean, you can start right now. And so if God has blessed you with a good job, thank Him for it. If God has given you a good mate and children, applaud Him for it. If God has saved your soul or He's done something really spectacular in your life, tell other people about it, right? I mean, we do that with a football game or a baseball game or whatever sporting event it might be, right? We can't help but to tell other people, hey, my team won. But we're on Team God. And we need to tell people what God is doing in our lives and what God has done in our lives. And so this text this morning, it calls us to praise God. Now, the elders asked me to speak on praise this morning. I will finish up my series on the Holy Spirit. We're not through with that series, but they thought, you know, just coming back, hey, let's just have a lesson on praising God. Next week, I believe Rick is going to be delivering the message as well. And so then we'll kind of get back to somewhat of a normal schedule this morning. But I want to encourage you, if you've been negligent in your praise of God, then you need to praise Him. Because of who He is and what He's done. And just contemplate who He is someday. And just think all day long who He is and what Scripture says about this God. And then spend another day on what He has done. And if you do that, you will never, ever, ever run out of praise. Because there is so much that we should be thankful for. And so this morning, if you don't know this God who is deserving of our praise, you can know Him because He's made it possible that you could know Him. And we already looked at the verse, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Because the Bible says that we were in sin and we were dead and there was nothing that we could do about our circumstances. So God intervened. He sent Jesus to die and He paid the debt of our sin at the cross. And if we will act in faith and believe in what God has done, repent of our sins, confess faith in Him and be buried with Him in the waters of baptism, God will erase our sins and He will embrace us as his children. And so this morning, if you've never obeyed the gospel, we're going to extend an invitation to you. If you've been negligent in your praise, I hope this morning that maybe this lesson will encourage you to think a little bit more about who God is, what God has done, and speak out and tell others about Him.